Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we're going to discuss finance with State Senator Scott Hammond. He's here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program State Senator Scott Hammond, Republican of District 18. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Good to be back on the program with you, Sam, and good morning to everybody.
Let's start out with the committees you're serving on. You're going to be on education, finance, and growth and infrastructure. Let's start out with finance, because obviously that's where the state is in a world of hurt.
Yeah, it's going to be a session that is going to be dealing with the budget. That's, you know, that's apparent from the beginning. We just received the Economic Forum's report. This is, I think that came in on, last week. I had a chance to peruse that a little bit yesterday and to talk to some folks from the finance staff at the Senate. It's not good, but it's not as bad as it could be. But we'll see in May. May we'll see another economic report coming out, and we'll have to, all the work that we do will have to be trued up at that point. But I think that they're forecasting about $8.5 billion that we can put into the next biennium budget. But the recommendations coming from agencies, the governor's agencies, I think are about 9.7. So I know the governor's asked for a 12% cut across the board. In order to get down to that number of 8.5. Plus there's other ways to, you know, try and increase the amount. We did a couple things during the special session that we might continue to, policy-wise, continue to move forward with, and that should generate somewhere in the neighborhood of about $700 million. But obviously it's not great news, and certainly will be something that's on everybody's minds during the next session. It definitely will be a budget session.
All right, so what things that were done in the special session are you talking about in terms of carrying those on? Because that would really take care of a huge chunk of the $400 million that we're short at this point.
Well, the 1% that we were taking away from the highway fund, and I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but that was about 100, over the biennium, it was about 84 million, and then there was the GST, the government service tax. I believe at the rate that we were saving from that, that was about 100. I can't remember exactly how much. 144 a year. There's just little things that we did during the special session, and plus you've got the rainy day fund that will, it's supposed to receive about $100 million. At the very start of the biennium, we'll just take that money and put it right back into the general fund, and then hope to be able to use it to spend it in those services that we need right now.
One of the things that people don't really understand is that when we look at shortfalls going into a session, that part of it is not actual shortfalls, but monies that are requested by the agencies as increases in their budget year over year. And so if you start from what the previous budget was, it's still bad, but it's not nearly as bad as it might be.
Correct. If you looked at the baseline, and we start from where they were the previous biennium and not talk about the increases, it's not as bad, and certainly 12%. Now, my preference is that we actually dig into those budgets that can actually sustain a 12% or more cut. It wouldn't impact us very much. My worry is that with a 12% across the board, you're hitting some of those budgets that can't afford 12%. Some of those agencies that have been, pretty good during these, years and have been very lean and made sure they ran a pretty tight ship. You're sort of punishing them for doing a good job, and others, not to say that they're doing a bad job, but there's just other services that probably could be a little bit more. And I think that's what we have to do during the session is figure out where we can cut a little bit more and try and save those budgets that we need to save. I don't think we can cut too much from education, for example.
Right. And I mean, you've got situations like Medicaid, and you've got DETR that are going to obviously need significant funding.
Yeah, you don't want to cut. Health and Human Services is one of the during the special session, the Republicans pointed out over and over again, every time you save money there in those budgets, you're actually increasing the budget total because of the money's coming in from the federal government. There's always matches that are coming in. Sometimes they're one-to-one matches. For every dollar we put into a certain program, then we get a dollar match from the federal government. And sometimes it's up to $4 for every dollar we put in. So, you really have to make sure that you go in more with a scalpel than just across the board, machete kind of style.
Well, hopefully the governor's suggestion was to get a sense of where money could be saved, and that agency heads would come back and say, here's what would happen if we did 12%, but you're cutting off, the head and the heart to try and save the body, and that's not going to work.
Yeah, and that's why we go through it thoroughly during the session. And we should be getting the governor's recommendations pretty soon. I think that's the next step that we're waiting for, is the governor's recommendations.
And, the other thing that's interesting, too, is a lot of people don't realize that a governor's very first budget is really not his budget. It's the previous governor's budget with some minor changes to it, but it's not a wholesale change. This will really be Governor Sisolak's first real budget, correct?
That is correct. This is his first budget. Yeah. The first one was put together by Sandoval, and then his staff, when Governor Sisolak came in, his staff, they kind of looked at it, made some changes to it, but in general, it was the Governor Sandoval's last budget.
If we, for this discussion, accept that President Biden is going to be president, and we take the discussions that are ongoing now between Majority Leader McConnell and Speaker Pelosi, it looks like there will be some kind of reform coming out in the next couple of weeks here in the lame duck to send funds to the state. How much money would Nevada need to get itself out of the primary areas of trouble that we're in fiscally?
Sometimes it's not the amount of money, it's how you spend the money. I mean, we've gotten billions of dollars from the federal government so far. Since the pandemic hit, we've received, and I'm not going to give you an exact number, but billions. It may even be as much as we put in a biennium budget. It's about how you spend the money. How wisely are we spending the money? That's what really matters. I don't know what the number is for what we need. I know that they're still trying to wrangle a little bit with how this is going to look. I don't think it'll look like the last one where every person got $1,200. I think they're really looking at narrowing down, screwing down into the details of how to help people out who are unemployed, making sure that there's a supplement for those who can prove that they've been unemployed. I guess to kind of back up what I'm saying, during the special session, we sat down and we listened to Dieter and what their needs were. And on the record, they told us that they had, fulfilled about $6 billion worth of unemployment insurance. And of that, perhaps 50% of it was fraudulent. So we spent the money, but how wisely did we spend that money? Did we really check to make sure that those recipients were truly Nevada citizens and truly in need of unemployment insurance? I mean, we're talking maybe $3 billion worth of money that was sent out to folks who don't live in the state or don't need it.
Well, and you know, to play devil's advocate here, on behalf of Dieter, you know, they have been dealing with what appears to be the fallout from the Experian hack, where people's Social Security information was sold on the dark web, and the people who purchased it were coming in with these fraudulent claims to an agency that had never anticipated this kind of problem coming up with, you know, COVID. And, you know, let's face it, as a legislator, if somebody came to you and gave you every option for something horrible that could happen, no state could possibly fund all of those eventualities, but it does call into question whether the state spends enough money on building up our capabilities for every agency to modernize them so they can at least handle a normal flow, let alone, you know, a critical flow like this.
Absolutely. And you know, over the last several years that I've been in the legislature, we have been spending money on infrastructure changes, technology changes, and sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't work out. I know that we spent money in the DMV to try and upgrade their system, and then they had problems with their vendor. And so, again, it always comes down to how wisely are you spending the money and you know, what safeguards are you putting into place? Like, I know the folks at Dieter are working hard. They're making sure that they get to as many of these cases as possible. I'm still getting phone calls from folks who are not receiving unemployment or have snags in their unemployment. I just know that that $3 billion right now, we wouldn't need as much from the federal government if we had that $3 billion. But, you know, that's, that's just my opinion is, you know, we need to shore up how we do the system, because we just can't afford to be shelling out $3 billion to folks who don't live in the state.
Well, and of course, nobody would disagree with you. That's common sense with what you're saying. But the other side of the coin is, to be able to deal with that, you're going to have to hire a whole lot more people, and that's going to be an expense to the state as well. So, and you're compounding it on top of the $3 billion you already lost. Are you throwing good money after bad? Or are you protecting yourself for the future with money you don't really have? I mean, that's the conundrum.
It really is. So I don't know what the number is right now that would help our state out. Like you said, if you take away the what the baseline was from our biennium budget from 2 years ago, you know, it's not that much. But, you know, every little bit's going to help out to make sure we don't lose services. But more than anything, in order to move forward, especially with the new Nevada plan coming into place, for the funding of schools, you certainly don't want to go backwards. You want to move forwards. You know, we want to make sure that the schools are getting what they're getting right now, plus a little bit more moving forward.
And does that phrase a little bit more even mean anything at this point in time when you're looking at these potential huge cuts?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest concern, and this is for those in the rural areas, when they put the new Nevada plan together, we saw that there was going to be a hit to the rural communities unless, of course, something changed. And that's what we're kind of looking at right now is, you know, what is that something? And does now COVID hurt our chances to make sure that we're not hurting areas of Nevada that, you know, quite frankly, can't afford to be hurt?
All right, let's take a break. More with State Senator Scott Hammond after this timeout.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Scott Hammond. He sits on Education, Finance, and Growth and Infrastructure. Just one more thing on the finance side. The Clark County Education Association wants higher taxes for education. Where do you think those two bills are going?
I'm not a very good prognosticator, I'll tell you that. I just think that they're asking for way too much right now. I just don't think that they're gonna get much traction. I just don't think that we're in a position right now to start raising taxes on the people in Nevada.
Do you think that there are any taxes that are on the table at this point in time in terms of raising them?
Well, I know that there's a couple of suggestions I've already heard, and I haven't heard the details of how they're going to do this. I know that mining is going to be coming back to the table. We had that session where we had one after another resolution affecting mining. I've been told that there's some negotiations going on, and perhaps some agreements that have already been met. I don't know. I'm not privy to those. We're trying to find those out right now. But if that's the case, we'll be looking at that. But they're going to need, if Democrats are talking about raising revenue, they're going to need a few votes from either the Senate or the Assembly to do that.
In terms of Republicans, you mean?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, I should have prefaced that. In terms of Republicans, they'll need to get at least a couple of votes from both the Senate and the House and the Assembly Republicans.
Okay, and the likelihood of that happening?
Not very likely.
All right, to say the least. And at this point, the gaming industry, not so much the locals' gaming industry, although you can look at Station Casinos and the fact that they're not reopening the Palms at this point, and a couple of other properties to say that even the locals are not doing so well. Boyd is not reopening the downtown properties yet. I would imagine mainly because Hawaii is shut down, and so therefore their huge business from Hawaii is not happening. But the strip operators are definitely not in a position of where I would say at this point they can afford an increase in any taxes.
And that's what we're hearing all the time. And of course, being right now, we're cutting capacity, how many people can be in the casinos. And that's not helping either. Some of them are struggling to stay open. Some of them have elected not to be open very often because of the overhead costs. It costs more to stay open than it is that they're not generating that much revenue because they just don't have people coming in. And it's not likely to get any better over the next couple of months. That's why May is going to be a very interesting month when we hear from the Economic Forum at that point, when they look at all the factors and find out exactly where we are in May, and then what numbers are we going to, you know, that's the report that we use to sort of true up all the reports, the numbers throughout the session, and then all of a sudden we've got to get that budget out by the end of the session. And those are the numbers we're going to be using. If those numbers aren't very good, we're going to be looking at a decrease again in funding.
All right, let's take another break. More with Scott Hammond after this timeout.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another, which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both, but more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up!
Hi.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Scott Hammond, Republican of District 18. You mentioned in the previous segment here that properties on the Strip are shutting down some of their towers during the week because of the lack of convention business. And that includes the latest report as we're taping this is that Las Vegas Sands is shutting down one of the towers at Venetian Palazzo. And Bloomberg did a story a couple of weeks ago that Las Vegas Sands was potentially on the block in Las Vegas to sell those two properties and the convention center for $6 billion. Can you share any more information than that published report? Because that's kind of a stunning announcement.
It is, and I don't have much more information, but you know, people have to understand that since March, when we shut everything down, the casinos just haven't been making a lot of money. Now, I know that that's not necessarily true up north. I think that some of the properties up north have been generating revenue, I think coming from California residents who've been leaving their state to come over and get out of some of the restrictions that they're under. And in some part here as well, but then the restrictions lately are going to hurt our chances. I believe we don't have a convention scheduled in the city of Las Vegas until after April. That's why the numbers are going to look pretty grim, I think, in May. But as far as some of the reports that are coming out, I think that they're selling off properties to try to save themselves, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, you know, I think that perhaps deploying capital would be a better way of putting it, because I mean, of all the casino companies, Las Vegas Sands is, I think, 56% owned by Sheldon Adelson and his family. So, you know, the last time that Las Vegas Sands stock dropped to below $3, he put in $1 billion of his own money and brought the company right back up to where it needed to be. But, you know, perhaps he's not in love with his properties the same way that Kurt Kerkorian would build up properties and then sell them. Perhaps he's thinking the same thing. It's just that $6 billion, you couldn't build those properties for $6 billion, but of course it's not what it costs to build them, it's what it costs to run them that may be the big issue. But deploying capital rather than the company being in trouble, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. You're bringing back Kurt Kerkorian. That was before my time, I tell you. You go back a little bit further than I do, Sam.
Well, he built the International Hotel, which was the largest hotel in its day, and sold it, and that became the Las Vegas Hilton and now Westgate. He built the MGMs in Reno and Las Vegas, sold them to Bally's. And so Phil Satre commented on the program that he was never in love with his, or he never fell in love with his properties. If it was a good deal, he was willing to sell them. Pennsylvania, Las Vegas Sands sold that property when they didn't think it worked. So, you know, that may be the point, that the business is better in Asia and the rebound is going to be better in Asia than on the Las Vegas Strip, but that sure sends out, you know, not so good signals to everybody else on the Las Vegas Strip. If Sheldon Adelson, who created his own, you know, form of convention suites, etc., is willing to pull out of Las Vegas.
Yeah, and Sam, on the street, you talk to folks here and some of the residents, especially those who have been here for a while. That's kind of the feeling they're getting, that Las Vegas is in for a a tough time, not just for the rest of this year, but in probably the foreseeable future. I think a lot of people are just expecting, this is what I keep hearing from folks, not only that I talk to on the street, but when I do a teletown hall or others, they see that the economic recovery is going to take anywhere between 3 to 8 years.
8 years, my goodness.
3 to 8 years. And so it's not rosy right now. And I'm an optimistic person. I do like to talk about the upside of things and the challenges and what that, you know, challenges bring on, experience and things like that. But, you know, it's hard to be upbeat right now. I'm going to try and stay as upbeat as possible. But, you know, when you hear news like this, you know, the housing market luckily is still doing well. Sales to an extent, especially online sales, doing all right. But, you know, it's hard to put a rosy picture on what's happening right now in Las Vegas and in Nevada in general. We got a lot of tough choices to make during the next session, and I think we're up to the task, though.
Well, and I think you are, too. Thank you so much for doing this, as always, and I'll look forward to talking to you when you're in Carson City in a couple of months.
Good to be on the program here, Sam, and we look forward to being up there and hopefully getting a chance to sit down with you again one day.
Looking forward to it. Thank you very much, Scott Hammond, and we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com. As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
ProGroup Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. ProGroup Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.